Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Well, good afternoon. Oh, what a great opportunity it is to reflect on 2 weeks, every 2 weeks, to have a program where I can just pour it all out and reflect on the last 2 weeks, come up with a theme. And as we all know, there's so much to reflect on in these prophetic times, these difficult times. But just want to point out something, since this blog is about the weather and the manipulation of weather, and, you know, the power to change the weather and how it relates to who we are as a species and how we've misled, you know, toward this path of crisis. And again, I have a website. It's called Visible Secrets, Invisible Power .com. And again, it goes on with the idea that, you know, fear has ruled for centuries and centuries. And we need to manage our fear, but we have to be really careful in, you know, our worldview of what the world means to us, what are the divine intentions for us, and what's our destiny. And it just seems to me, as I've learned from my digging for truth, that we have to be real careful how we understand culture that leads us to these modern times. That we can't just assume that humanity is basically evil, though it appears to be that way, as in my opinion, we are spiraling toward extinction. But on the other hand, in the darkest moments, one can find themselves and one can find truth. And, you know, one never gives up. Even when things seem bleak, we are capable of changing into a higher realm of understanding, whether it's outside forces, Martians coming to save us, whatever. My theme and precept today is we are who we are waiting for. So in other words, let's not hope some technical fix will fix all the problems of the world where it's getting too hot, too fast, the climate's shifting. Or another way to look at it is, well, it's not the climate shifting, but, you know, we'll just endlessly come up with new tools, new inventions, without realizing that technology as a whole deteriorates nature, because you have to manufacture, you have to dig up the earth. And it's at what point does the balance break off? At what point do we fall off the guardrails, tools, and weapons? so often converted to weapons. So I might add, it's interesting that today is cold. It's cool, 60 degrees when I wake up from my overnight. And yet, what was it, 36 hours ago, something like that, it was 95 degrees. Okay, there's always fluctuation in weather. But one thing I do know, and this relates to the visible secrets and invisible power, is that whenever there's moisture, it's a way to cool things down. Just like an air conditioner can cool a multi-story hotel building, yet it's going to pour heat into the surrounding air. But the people inside the apartment are nice and cozy. Well, in the same way, in Minnesota and eastern United States as a whole, it is true that we've been the cool spot while the rest surrounding us, other land masses, other places in the world, are setting temperature records, especially the worst place, in a place like Siberia, where they've got record heat that's just unprecedented. And I don't know how many scientists are there to measure the temperatures, but, you know, we have the physical means throughout the planet, the sophisticated instruments that do accurately measure temperatures. And if anything, it's hotter than the mainstream media says, it's hotter than scientists say, because it's a natural human tendency to hide the truth. Not to scare people, to keep them under control and relax, that's not to be too alarmed, because then they get out of hand. Well, I digress a little bit, but in these times, it is appropriate to use biblical names. Now, my personal name these last 2 weeks of turmoil, I've called myself Careless Christensen, and I can laugh and admire, stand back and admire the eggs that I lay, my mistakes. And for example, I get a new business phone, and I haven't protected it, put a protective layer over it yet, because in my job, it's very physical, and I could bust the phone. Well, what's the first thing I do? I'm shifting around in the truck. I have to stand up, and it's a torrent of rain, and I drop my phone from high up in the truck down onto the pavement. But guess what? There was a torrent of rain, and it landed flat in the river. So I wiped off my phone, and it was fine. So, you know, every now and then I get lucky. So thanks for that. But anyways, if I were to adopt a name, it would be Brother Thomas. And why? Well, because the disciple Thomas, shared opinion, was closest to understanding how Christ's mission was to be carried out. Accordingly, even Thomas had failed that Jesus gave to Peter, Matthew, and Thomas. In short, the mind, which Jesus describes as the bubbling spring, is what distracts the disciples from taking in what Jesus was teaching. Jesus said, "I have measured out the bubbling spring," in one of his sayings. That is a saying of the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas. And of course, this wasn't included. I believe it was found in a cave. You know, it was hidden. Yet, supposedly, this is a When I read the Gnostic Gospel, it's very deep and meaningful. And, you know, my question is, why was so much of, some of it was in the Bible, some of it was left out. Why was it left out? Was it the power structure of the time, even the corruption back then of centralized power? Is that why it was left out? Because it was too penetrating, too truthful to the people that were ruling. So meaning Jesus is in a constant state of being, knowing, understanding, which goes beyond the mind. And that was the lesson of that gospel saying, that Gnostic gospel saying. So So only in the absence of the mind can one fully receive from a master, whether Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Lao Tzu, or other masters who are so rare among the human species. And I'm reminded, too, of Gandhi, where he had a truth to power movement. In other words, he faced a corrupt empire of sorts, and in India and the British rule, he was able to face them down and expose the lies of the empire, so to speak. Well, lately, I have felt the anguish of failing to carry out the teachings of a master. So back to the here and now. You know, leave the past behind. Don't worry about the future. Just go on and get over it. Embrace what's happened. We're human. If we don't learn if we don't make mistakes. Anyways, guilt gets one nowhere. The bubbling mind allows the past to haunt and wear down one's spirit. So how does a master behave? I remember reading something from Osho, who wrote the Mustard Seed book that I've discussed in previous blogs. Again, it was about the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas. And he said, Master Buddha will step aside of a snake, not run away, or not challenge it to strike. Almost always conscious, aware, alert, yet calm, strong, just true to themselves, and so to others. Now, Dane Wigington, who I consider as a master, one of these extremely rare human beings, if not a prophet, the prophet of our times, will remove the snake for its safety away from humans. I know he had some stories that if he encountered a snake on a path, his love for snakes and nature was such that he knew humans, the snake's life was jeopardized because if other humans would come by, chances are the snake would be killed or stepped on or whatever. So he even risked himself to remove a snake. And yes, he could have been poisoned, but he had the courage and the canniness to know how to deal with it, with the problem. So that's something I've admired about Dane Wigington is, you know, my life in this wonderful state of Minnesota, the land of lakes, and all the fishing and, you know, the wildlife. It's we're all related not only to ourselves and the people of our own species, but, you know, also to the diversity of life, should I say, the greater good. So I choose Dane not just for his courage, which he exhibits every week on radio and every day that he lives, in my opinion, but for his love of creation and the whole of the web of life, the greater good. Nature is not an anarchy to be put in order. It's the opposite. Humans, our species, are the anarchy, and we must restore the balance of creation's natural laws as just stewards of the earth, not as the unjust who believe they should own and dominate the earth at the expense of life itself, the life of the entire planet, which is the greater good. And in my previous blog, I mentioned about the snake symbol that somebody pointed out to me just a couple days ago, reminded me that in some of the Eastern philosophy and history, the snake was venerated. I think of the snake charmer, where, you know, they had a snake on hand and they could make it dance against danger by playing a flute or whatever. The point of it is the snake was more or less a venerated animal, revered. Now, the younger Western civilization, with the, you know, from the Bible onwards, it seems that the snake is a symbol to be despised. It's evil. It's scary. It incites fear. And again, in my opinion, I believe Jesus did journey east for knowledge from the older civilization. I think some of this Gnostic gospel was gained from his journey as a young man in his thirst for knowledge and truth. But anyways, we'll leave that beside. I just want to read what remains in the hour, some of the things I want to cover. I spent two blogs talking about anarchism, and I want to make sure that the anarchism of the recent events doesn't get confused here. The violent anarchist organizations, so forth, that the burning of buildings and so forth, the sadness and how can one even explain, the anguish of it all? I do want to go back a little bit, just, as I had some feelings of guilt, where in these 2 weeks, I've been busy, and my garden is my respite, where I can just kind of put my head in the sand and be with nature and do some weeding and watering and so forth. And yet all this mess going on, where am I? How come I'm not in the crowd? And it does go back to this saying about Peter and Matthew and Thomas, where in the Gnostic Gospel, Jesus more or less tested these close disciples of his that had followed him very closely. And they failed the test in that they would describe who Jesus was like. So the feeling of guilt that comes from me that I need to overcome, that was part of described that if Jesus is a righteous angel, that means that reveals that Peter himself fears being guilty, or, he's judgmental about things. And in truth, our Creator is not necessarily judgmental. That would be a misleading world view. So Peter, being the saint he is, indeed, you look at his life and the sacrifice to spread the gospel, he was indeed a saint. But there's that part of religion where, Christ wanted people to be Christ, to be Christians. In other words, going to church, being a Christian, there's nothing wrong with that. But the step further that I think the point that Jesus tries to make is, being totally into the moment, in a state of being, pursuing the truth, is very important. And the other part of it is, during this difficult time where the Twin Cities, Minnesota was the hub of all worldwide attention from, the tragedy that everybody could see on tape of murder in the process and all the confusion thereabout. It's easy to be, as I relate to the disciple Matthew, where he was knowledgeable. He was like a theologian. Well, he described to Jesus, "You are a wise man of deep understanding," or something to that effect. And that also fails, because think of people in academia or the ivory tower, where, they can be very impressive with their words and knowledge, but yet they go nowhere with their actions. And my experience in the last 2 weeks was the feeling of being insulated. Here I have my job. I had to go through downtown Minneapolis, but I went late at night, so I didn't have to deal with some of the, the anxiety that some other drivers went through. And the important thing that gets back to the theme of this precept, I think, is to, not rush to judgment, which reminds me a little bit of Catholicism or Peter. And also not to be insulated, which I was. I was home safe in the curfew, watching televised violence so to speak, but also peaceful demonstrators, you know, and the encouraging fact that, you know, worldwide people are fed up with what they saw, and it's brought out everyone. And, you know, in the darkest moments, the light starts happening, the awakening starts happening. So that's one way to look at it. And I, you know, I hope that continues. But again, where protests are warranted, the what I'm getting at today is individually, we have to be very careful. We have to be discern what is going on. We have to investigate. We have to get as much knowledge as we can. So, excuse me. I think of a friend of mine who's very busy, and he's a fellow driver, and I've learned to bring out what compels me to get truth out to people, or to open up a dialogue, because that's so important, to open up dialogue, to spread spot fires of awareness. I qualify with a question. I said, what do you think? Is this pandemic a fault of nature, or was it man-made? So it's a simple yes or no question. It's not much in between. And, you know, this friend of mine went totally for the idea of what he heard on TV, and that is that somebody had bat soup and it went from there. And, you know, no grudge held. I, of course, believe with all my heart and soul that this was a engineered pandemic intended. And I have done a lot of research. I have a lot to back up and discuss with people if they are willing to do so. Given the backdrop of a collapsing climate, a collapsing biosphere, the power structure, the evil setup in our system is such that there's more desperation. So the pandemic is one means to shoulder and maintain control of the people who are the so-called unjust stewards of this planet, the people that worship mammon and wealth, and, you know, use fear to maintain their rule. And I can and go into that a little later, but I want to get back to, I didn't quite finish what I have planned for the rest of the blog. My apologies for that. But if those who have listened to me understand, I'm kind of all over the place sometimes, but I have a lot of deep thoughts, and I'll credit myself for that. I did want to discuss, too, as the incident of George Floyd, I found some information as I was looking at Dane Wigington's website. One of the bloggers brought up the 1999 trial on the cause of Martin Luther King's assassination. What was the verdict? Was it a conspiracy, or was it by an assassin, James Earl Ray? So I'll go into that a little bit. And I want to read to you a very precious, long-worded testimony of a physician who was unaware of the dangers of vaccination. And I title it, I Didn't Know. He repeats that, I didn't know, many, many times. And I think it's a very critical piece of information for people to understand what vaccines really are and what they can do. And then maybe a few more details if I get time against the COVID-19 via the Swedish model, where Sweden had a successful economy. They grew. They were one of the only economies in the whole world that grew during this pandemic. And yet they were on projection, as their epidemiologist had indicated, for death toll. He was right on the target. And now some of the other surrounding countries like Denmark are agreeing with this model. I'll get into that a little bit. And then finally, with recent comments from Dane Wigington citing the long history of corruption of centralized power, you know, going way back to the beginning of time as we know it, where we've had hierarchical structured societies, not just small pockets of tribal societies. So our collective me is on the neck of this planet, as Dane said. That is the overriding issue that we can't lose sight of. It underlies the chaos of these desperate times from which there is no return to normal. The sooner we understand that, the better off we will be. And I should add, you know, the 95-degree weather that we just had here in St. Paul, Minnesota, and now the cold weather from the rain. Indeed, visible secrets. Boy, did I ever see them. When I saw the sky and it's herringboned, that is not natural. That is radio frequency, microwave activity interacting with the particles in the clouds. And if those particles have aluminum or metallic components, then what you have is wireless transmission of electricity. That is the invisible power that understandably people don't pick up on. But anyone who's lived as long as I have in my 6+ decades knows that those skies were like dumpling clouds, you know, these beautiful cumulus clouds, which we still see today. But they were not marred by this kind of gray soup, this envelope of gray that envelops the sky, and which we see happening, you know, as with these weird patterns of the spreading, the herringbone sky. That's part of the way this invisible power can spread out the particles and manipulate them and move them wherever wished. Following, in other words, taking moisture from even the Gulf and having the ability to move it through regions of, for example, the eastern United States. So, anyways, now that I'm through the bullets portion and you can expect me to get to some of these topics, I just wanted to point out from the last blog that Planet of the Humans, with Michael Moore as the executive director, an outstanding documentary which exposes how nonprofit environmental organizations have been totally bought by corporate America and controlled to a point. And they have sold this idea that there's a technological fix, renewable energy, solar panels, wind power, everything's going to be fine. We have the technical know-how to fix things, which is so patently false. And that, the movie shows that. So isn't that so typical? YouTube took that movie, which was a free video for 30 days. It was taken off of YouTube. So there we go, censorship. You get a brief glimpse at the truth. But the truth is, when it's too painful for those who are, you know, in control that want to keep the masses sleeping, well, they'll take it off. No surprise. No surprise at all. But I do understand if you go to the Vimeo, it's Vimeo, website, that you can still find Planet of the Humans there, an outstanding documentary. So truth is minimized in a corrupt system of centralized power, and I've read from the protocols in the last blog, and again, the protocols of the learned elders of Zion was an ancient plan thousands of years ago, set in motion, which culminates in the encirclement of the globe financially, militarily, industrially, through planned violence and deception, ending as a new world order or world government. And so the diaspora of the Jewish throughout Earth is used to their advantage, and the culture of man as innately evil, surrounded by evil, separate from nature, winner take all. You know, I'm just trying to summarize what I see in the plan, and this is what Dane Wigington shared. He said, you know, if you get a chance, check into these protocols, because they are very much a diabolical plan and very much considered a conspiracy. However, you know, if you look at it, it of course it's a conspiracy, because the people, if they're indeed in charge of this plan, they certainly don't want you to know about it. It wants you to take the bait for the strategies that are used in it, so that the masses can be controlled and enslaved or whatever. So I just wanted to read a little bit about the contents, not to go into reading any of it, because there's no time to do so. But you can't help but shake your head when you look at the contents of this document and just the titles alone. So I won't read the basic doctrine, but it says, here's some of them. Economic wars. Materialism replaces religion. Despotism and modern progress. Methods of conquest. Worldwide wars. Re-education. Preparing for power. Totalitarian state. Control of the press, assault on religion, ruthless suppression. These are titles, and this document was transcribed from a meeting in Davos, I believe it was 1896, and it was like a condensed version of what had been going on for centuries in these very shrewd, clever plans, which... I'm not to put it all on the Jewish people. There are many people of Jewish faith, believe in God, are good people. But the point of it is that whether it's Christian or Jewish, the root of all evil is money. Or as Jesus says in the parable of the unjust steward, we worship mammon, which is wealth and money, or we worship God, which is what's in your heart, to thine own self be true. So that very, very key parable where Jesus has this very difficult task to bring to the Western world, the best guidepost he can, the best words he can use for what's basically indescribable. You know, we can't describe being, consciousness, creation. And I know, for example, Buddha, who's talked about in the Mustard Seed book by Osho, you know, where he discusses the Gnostic gospel. If anybody would ask Buddha a question about what is the creator like, who is God, what do you think God is, he'd just start talking about something else. He would just ignore that question, because it is really a question that's unfair. You can't put God in words. One has to find God themselves. And that gets back to my precept that we are who we are waiting for. You know, it's individual sovereignty. All and each of us at this point in time have to find, we have to dig and find our own way as to what we understand to be truth. And the right path to move on. And, you know, the path of reason, path of morality, path that leads to a future for our children, and so on and so forth. So, you know, let me go on. The other thing I wanted to explain was to clarify about anarchism. The anarchism, as I meant it in the last blog, again, not the violence we saw of the so-called anarchist group burning down buildings, but the teardown of the anarchism of the New World Order. You know, and in my younger days, I thought, geez, you know, people in high power and government, they got to be good. How could they not be? Because they're taking on this fearsome task. And, you know, in many cases, they're deciding life and death. It's something a normal person wouldn't want to do. But at the same time, you know, power corrupts. I never wanted to believe that, but now I do. Is that, you know, people can be attracted to the government and the public trough, so to speak. It's a way to make fame, a way to make money, a way to take advantage of people, you know, a way to climb on and take something other people don't want. Because, again, if you don't have much of a conscience, you can manipulate people. When you're in power, that's just what they do. And we need to awaken as soon as possible, in my opinion. So the teardown of anarchism, of a new world order, of the direction we're heading, that's what I mean by it. It's militantly disciplined, peaceful means. Only if necessary where the masses awaken, not to burn down buildings, but to defend themselves from violence, to be an army of the awakened, who understand what's going on, who understand they've been cheated. You know, you can call it Pitchfork Nation, but the time will come when we will awaken. It's coming so fast, in my opinion. I wanted to give a quote from Martin Luther King that I found, one of the bloggers from geoengineeringwatch.org. Again, it's been a very rich site. I think there's many people of the light there that understand a lot of, you know, they see the big picture very well. And it's been a problem with me sometimes, because in my own little ego, you know, I've wanted to be a part of that kind of pedestal of people close to the master, as I consider Dane Wigington a master. And yet I'm learning, you know, what good is that? You know, I'm not here to force my way and pretend that I'm anything. You know, I've got this wealth of knowledge. I'm just, as I've said earlier, I'm just another rube from a place called Loserville, whether on the screen or tube. I've wasted time against my will. In other words, I need no ego. You can't have an ego when approaching the truth. You are who you are, and you just be who you are, nothing more. And living out that way, that's the way you're going to change the world. And some will, maybe as the word, bury their head in the sand because they prefer not to hear such ugly news about a collapsing or biosphere threatening total wipeout of this planet or extinction. So it's a delicate matter. How do you approach, how do you make change without bothering people, without putting them off, because it's such a difficult subject to cover. So here's Ms. Martin Luther King's quote. A nation that continues year after year to spend more on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. And that was on loveancestry.com. Loveancestry.com. I wanted to draw special attention to this because it's so pertinent to the times. When Martin Luther King was voicing his opinion on the military in the Vietnam War, that's when he crossed the line of the empire, according, you know, to the article, and I agree. That's, you know, shortly after that, that's when he was murdered. And what's special about this is I might have heard something at the time, but it was 1999. There was a trial as to what really did happen with the assassination. The trial was, you know, in order to investigate whether it was James Earl Ray that was the assassin of Martin Luther King or some other force. and the other force being a government conspiracy. And interestingly, not to go into any depth, but I do remember reading that there was something like 70 witnesses. So very compelling witnesses, and a very, very disturbing account from these credible witnesses. Very, very disturbing that indeed it was likely a policeman who shot Mr. King, and the CIA, you know, there's just the hospital doctor, you know, different branches of government were involved and conspiring and plotted this plan to assassinate Martin Luther King, just in very much the same way I believe John Kennedy was assassinated, with government complicity and planning. So it was a jury of 6 white people and 6 black people. And the jury only took 1 hour of deliberation to find out indeed it was a government conspiracy. And Coretta King expressed her gratefulness for that jury, that finally in her family she could put to rest the fact that the truth was finally coming out. How sad it is that, you know, information like that isn't on the forefront. The article did make that point that, you know, it, even though this trial took place and ideally would be front page news for a long time to come, it's somewhat hidden. So just thought I'd point that out. I want to read now, since this so-called New World Order is well on its way, I want to give you an example with the whole history of vaccines. It's pretty well put in the words of this physician. And it was collated by Dr. Gary Coles, MD. And it's a lot of words, but I think I can read it in the time I've got here. I am an MD, but let me tell you what I didn't know and what 90% of all MDs do not know. And again, this gets to the precept. We are who we are waiting for. You know, this MD found out the truth, and it hurt. But at least he found it out, and at least he can awaken others. I didn't know what 90% of all MDs do not know. I did not know that vaccines had not been tested against any placebo ever. I did not know that animal testing would be skipped for future COVID vaccines. I did not know the 30-plus ingredients used in vaccines. I did not know that there are neurotoxic aluminum and mercury molecules in vaccines. I did not know enough to research vaccines before vaccinating my own children. I did not know that my precocious, active, talking son would be vaccine injured. I did not know that my own baby brother, also an MD, would become paralyzed, Guillain-Barré syndrome, and then die after his swine flu vaccine in the same hospital, Shands, where he had received his medical training. I did not know that my mother, an RN, would get 8 vaccines in one day to catch up with newly added CDC vaccines to keep her job as head nurse in the largest hospital in the county, and then get such severe aggressive progressive brain fog in days and become unable to dial a phone or push an elevator button or remember any of her 5 children in a few weeks, and then have this dementia progress and then die in diapers. I did not know that vaccines were given a blanket indemnity from liability in 1986, and now total immunity for all COVID vaccines for the future. I did not know that we gave more vaccines than any country starting on day number 1, Earth. I did not know that we have the highest rate of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, of the top 35 industrial countries. I did not know that we had more autism than any other country. I did not know that vaccines could injure an infant's brain. I did not know that vaccines can result in autoimmunity and neurological damage. I did not know that herd immunity does not apply to vaccines and is a myth created by the CDC. Let me just break in here to say the Swedish model, which basically said people can go to work and leave the sick ones at home isolated, not spreading the infection. So yes, though 75,000 deaths were projected by this college in London, which was kind of the overall mouthpiece of the media for projecting this pandemic. Okay, 75,000, well, it's more like 4,500, maybe 5,000. But it's pretty much online with what they predicted. And what does this mean? If there's future beasties out there, pandemic-like, man-made engineered chimera viruses sent out, then chances are these people have already have a herd immunity. It has nothing to do with having a vaccine. It's the fact that they've been exposed to something that wasn't, it was a flu virus, not intended to kill, but it can set off, it can trigger an immune response that will kill from other portions, whether you have diabetes, obesity, you know, vulnerability. It can set off and trigger a cytokine storm or, you know, a hyper immune response. Whereas, you know, if you're healthy, you have a good diet, you have your proper vitamins, you'll fight it off. Just as I did with the mumps when I was little. My kids didn't get the mumps, maybe, but I got the mumps. It hurt a little bit. I cried when I was, what, 4 or 5 years old, I remember. But, you know, I'm over it and never have it again. And my immune system is much stronger for it. And when you get repeated vaccinations, that's what this guy's basically saying. Imagine his mother gets 8 vaccines and then goes downhill. So, and to continue on. I did not know that vaccines have almost no effect after about 4 years. I did not know how emotional the topic would be and how angry people would be at me for just asking questions about vaccine safety. I did not know that pediatricians were paid to give vaccines. I did not know that the CDC owned the patents on so many vaccines. And that's a, you know, so-called government agency. Why would they own? Why would they profit? I did not know that the National Institute of Health stands to make billions of dollars on a COVID vaccine. I did not know how angry at myself I would be for not knowing. I did not know that the CDC committed fraud and destroyed their evidence in their vaccine safety studies when it showed vaccines can cause autistic neurological changes. I did not know that a whistleblower came forward with all the evidence, but was silenced. I did not know that Merck committed fraud in their vaccine research repeatedly. I did not know that aluminum molecules in the vaccine ingredient is connected to brain inflammation, and brain inflammation has been proven to be connected to autism. I did not know that vaccines contain human cells from aborted fetuses. I did not know how much mainstream media would censor the independent research that showed these facts. I did not know that 90% of all vaccine research that the CDC and the FDA use to approve vaccines are done by the scientists hired by vaccine makers. I did not know that we were alone. I did not know how many other millions of parents and families in the world have been afflicted by vaccine reactions. I did not know how many would find, join, and share the Facebook help group equals vaccine support group on Facebook. I did not know that Facebook would delete the scientific medical research until it happened to us. And that's the end of that. But that is quite a mouthful. Very telling, and I hope anyone listening in the future or now takes that to heart. So I'm getting close to the end here. I'll just sum up some of what Dane Wigington had to say. And just highlights of the overriding, you know, what's on the horizon that we have to have a clear lens to see, that in spite of the pandemic, in spite of all this violence on the streets and peaceful protesting, where there are some positives, worldwide awakening, bringing in everybody. Marine animals are migrating to the poles for cooler water. That's been charted because the oceans are so hot. 23 million years since the CO2 level was this high in concentration, 23 million years ago. And yet the report that states this just seems to think, well, this could be bad. Well, wait a minute, it's real. Why do people always say could, would, should, maybe? So there's the founding father's nightmare, corrupt to the core. And there was an article where the founding fathers wanted to be somewhat detached and objective as they possibly could, and putting their own personal desires aside to design a constitution that would be a safeguard against the evils that we're seeing now. And it was a very interesting article that I don't have time to go into, but it's just to wrap up here. Let's see, the violence only widened and deepens the divide, agendas, objectives of the power structure. That's just a piece about George Floyd, that in spite of, you know, the well-warranted protesters, it's what people did and should do, and it was encouraging, you know, the amount of peaceful protesters out there. But at the same time, the agendas of the evil people in the corrupt power, they use an event like this to fit their agendas and confuse us, let's put it, you know, to maintain their control, because it's ever harder to maintain control in these times, in these prophetic times. So they resort to more extreme and more extreme and more extreme measures in their hapless zigzag path, threatening us all. And again, there's collusion and cooperation among not just our government, but all hierarchical governments. What else can I find here? Militarized, industrialized civilization is a knee on the earth's neck. That's the way Dane puts it. And that's, I believe, very true. Chris Hedges, he's the famous journalist that's been all over the world showing the evils of war and all the exposing injustices worldwide. And getting himself in trouble, of course, for showing the truth. But he's in alternative media, and he's outspoken and very professional, very intelligent. And he's got a way with words. But he says the universities, it seems that they're trained for jobs that won't exist. They know only how to feed the beast till it dies. And when the financial world collapses, the elite will be as helpless and deluded as the rest of us. So he's foreseeing, these are grim times, and let's not get false hope of things will return to normal. Let's face the facts now that we've got to awaken and be at our very best to sort out the truth from falsehood. Dr. Fauci had said a chance that vaccinations may not have immunity for long. Yes, and so and that's been the case always. Bill Gates And get this. This is where I get into this New World Order. And again, the precept, we are who we are waiting for. The masses of people have to awaken quickly, because here's his statement. Humanity badly needs global government. And again, I'll remind you in previous blogs, Bill Gates, for example, spent billions with the World Health Organization, bought his way into this agent to be his own messiah, apparently. Apparently people from poorer countries are lesser human beings to be experimented on, where his vaccinations, where he upped the dosage for from 5 to 50 for polio vaccine. And there was 490 plus thousand cases of paralysis of innocent children. So he needs to be exposed. He needs, and countries are taking him to court, so that can't happen soon enough. Charles Hugh Smith wrote about the Founding Fathers' nightmare, in case you want to look it up. So Charles Hugh Smith, Founding Fathers' Nightmare. If you look that up, it would be a very, very good read, because it talks about fear. Dane's last Global Alert News was all about, the theme was how fear through the ages has always been used to rule. You can go back to Egypt, and when there was foreign invaders or whatever physical threat that was overcome, Egypt expanded, and there should be no need, you know, for fear. But as is stated by, I believe it's Seneca, a famous philosopher of the times, that they created fear so that they could keep the community tight in their hands of power. And that goes way back. Okay. And a couple minutes, and then I got to get going. But, you know, the fear of nature, fallen, that's one of the ways we blame nature. We fear nature. We blame nature for the hurricanes, for everything, when, like I say, there's man-made drought, man-made deluge. It's not nature's fault. When we have control of the weather, we have to get through this. Fear psychosis, ruling class, fear as a means of social manipulations. So again, I talk about ancient Egypt. They maintained the fear they invoked to hold community together. Another thing besides fear is repetition. Goebbels, the German Nazi leader, said, you know, to repeat falsehoods in the garb of truth. Words molded. Repetition. You keep saying lies long enough and people start believing you. That's just a basic thing that was social engineering. So even though technology's advanced and supposedly we don't have to fear nature as much, what is the antidote? Again, technology is led us on this weapons race. It's been good, but it's also a double-edged sword. But the antidote is just its knowledge. Again, a final saying here is that the more we can study and investigate events and not jump to conclusions, for example, the truck driver in Minneapolis, that it appeared that he purposely was driving through barriers, and he went on the freeway, and he was intending to kill people, kill protesters in the crowd. And if you looked at a camera, you might easily believe that. And yet I, as a truck driver, my instinct said, no way, this guy, you know, he probably came upon this crowd surprised. He probably came around a bend. He was probably panicky, because even if he went through barriers, he was probably somewhat frightened, because he, you know, didn't know what to do. And but in the end, he had no barriers. He had no warning. So he comes under a bridge, around a corner, and up a hill. And he's going 65 too fast, but that's what many truck drivers, including myself, have done. Often on a 55, you know, truckers will go 65 and they're governed. But anyways, in the end, I had some fractious debate with family members that you can't rush to judgment. And that's, unfortunately, you really have to investigate carefully. And indeed, the driver was let off. So, again, we are who we are waiting for. We have to really dig in for the truth. We're all responsible. And as Milgram has said, Stanley Milgram, who was a famous psychology professor and experimenter, that, you know, when we drop our sense of responsibility, then we give in to tyranny. So we really need to, all of us in this struggle, in this battle for salvation, need to do our very best to investigate and be clear-headed and see the big picture. And an open mind is creation kind. And I'll leave with that. I thank you all for listening and all who will in the future. I hope you get some response from this blog. So bless all in the struggle, and let's be forgiving too. It's so easy to get misguided. Just to be patient and loving with people, even if you disagree with them, and learn by having the courage to open up conversation is what's needed, so we can all come to our best conclusions and we can all sort out the evil from the good. So, if there's any questions, I can remain a few minutes. Otherwise, we'll call it a blog.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Times of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show.